Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Financing Your Business Today. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host with Apple Capital Group. Today, our topic is SEO and inbound marketing. Our special guest today is Kyle James, CEO and co-founder of InCloud and .edu Guru. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me today.
Okay, great. I guess for people who want to call in, you can call in at 347-324-3460, again, 347-324-3460, or you can post a question in the chat room and go ahead and read it out to the guests. Kyle, can you kind of tell us from a dummy perspective about SEO and the importance of SEO?
Sure. I guess I'd even take a step back and really think about it this way. That,
okay.
You know, the way that people market and the way that people do business has really changed a lot over the last 10 years or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we talk all about social media all the time, right? Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. Facebook was only founded in 2004. You know, Twitter was only founded in, what, 2008, 2007. These things haven't even been around that long, but they've totally revolutionized the way we watch TV, socialize, and interact with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, even you watch CNN now, they can't help but, like, follow us on Twitter and engage with us. Same for the Today Show and all that. And this, the Internet has really changed the way people are forced to do marketing for a couple of reasons, right? Like, traditionally, you wanted to find a local plumber, you pulled it up in the Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that anymore. You know, word of mouth has always been real important. It can still continues to be, and that's where, you know, this online stuff comes in. And Google and the social media have really helped it to change that. So 50 years ago, everybody marketed through mass media. You know, you saw a TV commercial, you read something in the newspaper, saw an ad, and that's how you marketed. You know, you spent a lot of money and you got good return. One of the famous things that Brian Halligan, the CEO of HubSpot, always used to say, and I love the saying, is today marketing is not about the size of your wallet. I mean, it's not about the size of your wallet. It's about the size of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true, right?
It is.
That if you want to market, you got to market smartly. And what the web has enabled us to do today is we can measure everything. You bought a radio ad. You have no idea how many people actually listened to it and actually acted upon it unless you, like, asked them, did this radio ad influence you? A lot of times they didn't have a clue. But with the web, you can measure everything, and it's really enabled us to get a lot smarter about our time and our money. And having our own website gives us that 24-hour a day, 7-day-a-week footprint or storefront, if you will, so that people can see what we're doing.
Wow.
Is that too much? Am I throwing too much at you?
No, that's really fine, because I remember probably around the turn of this last decade when YouTube came out.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden we find our bandwidth going down because everybody's watching videos and we didn't know too much about YouTube. But just even the power of YouTube, see something visually that anybody can create on their own. And the silliest things are becoming more effective. But like, as you mentioned with Twitter and Facebook, you can't measure them and you really can't measure them. But, you know, if you have a website, I guess it's in your best interest to have those. But if you play a part of this whole pie of SEO, how do we put all these pieces together? I know you can measure it, but how do they all intertwine with each other for SEO?
That is the million-dollar question, right? Everybody's like, you got to do social media, you got to be on Facebook, and you know, 10 years ago, everybody was like, you got to have a website. So everybody threw up a brochure. And now it's like, how do you get this engagement on your website and in your online presence? And to me, it all comes back to that storefront. And because search engines are so important to everything, and with the new updates and things that they're doing to them now, especially Google, social media is becoming more and more ingrained into search. You know, you have to have, you can't just have a brochure up for your website. It has to be an engaging site with content that's updated on a regular basis. And when we talk about content, the easiest way to produce content is blog, right? And even from that, you know, what do you tell about and what do we share in social media? Well, a worst case scenario, you're like, oh, we need to do social media. If all you're doing is, you know, sharing, syndicating your blog post into your Twitter and Facebook, well, you're doing half the battle right there, because think about this. If you're a business, you can't sell someone your product or your service on Facebook or Twitter, can you?
No, you can't.
You got to get them back to your website, right? So if all you're doing is tweeting at a bunch of people and sharing a bunch of other people's content, you're not actually getting them back to your site where then they can then take that next step. So step one is always getting them to your website, and that's where you really got to think about all these other channels, whether it's social media or search engines. How are we driving people to our website? And search engines is a numbers game in its purest simple sense, right? If you've got a brochure website with 10 pages on it, and I've got a website, your competitor has a website with 100 pages, well, let's do simple math. Who's 10 times more likely to show up in Google? Your competitor, right?
Yeah.
Simply because they've got 10 times more pages than they do on your website. So, you know, people talk about, oh, we got to do all this and we got to have this and it's got to look great. It's like, well, it's pure sense of the numbers game. The more pages you have on your site, the more opportunities you have to rank in Google, the more opportunities you have to share stuff in social media. And it's this engine that kind of keeps on going. But getting all this traffic is only like the top part of your funnel. You know, I love this story. You know, it's for most businesses that I've worked with, especially small businesses, their biggest challenge is getting traffic to the website, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do we get more traffic? And it always comes down to 100% of the time, create more content. I love the movie Field of Dreams. Have you ever seen Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner?
Yes, I remember seeing him in 1989, I think.
Yeah, here's this crazy guy out in a cornfield that has this dream of reconnecting with his dad, and then if you build it, they will come, right? Mm-hmm. And he builds a baseball field, and they come. And literally, the same is true for your website. If you build it, traffic will come. You know, if you create this more and more content, more and more people will come to it, and this snowball effect will happen. It doesn't happen over time, and you might have to mortgage the farm to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was able to get everybody in the whole local area to come and watch baseball.
Wow, I mean, it's a good analogy. By building it, and it all starts with a website. And once you have a website, and you mentioned that you have to create content. Now, for a big, small business owner, you know, you have management, you have finances, you have employees, you have marketing, you selling and doing all these other things. Even from the smallest one person operation to mom and pop to a small business of 30 employees, it's
mm-hmm.
like putting the time to what you said is creating this content. So we have this site. I have my 5 pages that are built. You know, you can build them cheaply anywhere now from all different type of providers, but.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have your 5 pages. Now how to go from there? You can't crank out content over and over. Is there places that you suggest we can go get content to help me feed my pages? Or what do you advise?
Yeah, there are some of those out there, some of the what they call kind of content networks where you can buy content. Just to throw a plug out there, Steve Lazuka, one of my buddies, is a CEO over Interact Media, and it's Zerys, Zerys.com. It's one of those content marketplaces where you can, they have thousands of writers, and you can buy content from your, from different areas of expertise, and you can literally get a blog post for 500-word blog post for $15. Dirty little secret there, I've used that quite a bunch myself.
And what's it called again?
Zerys, Zerys.com.
Okay.
So that's one of those, but it really comes down to this, and you have to think of it this way. You're the expert, right? Whether me, you know, what we do at NewCloud is we sell interactive campus maps. I'm the expert on that. It doesn't always make sense for me to pay someone else to write the blog article or tell the content that I'm the one that's the expert on. And for a lot of business owners, they think, I don't have time for content. What do I write about? You know, the simple example I always like to give is take a chimney sweep, right? They take it for granted that they know all these things about sweeping chimneys out, whether it's when is the best time of year to do it, how often do you do it, what are problems you what are things that I've got, you know, this problem, what is the cause of it? That's all brilliant, brilliant content that you could be creating. And the simple answer is what are the first 10 questions that prospects ask you every time you talk to them, right? Because every company, every salesperson can tell you there's 10 things that people ask us over and over and over again. It's the first 10 things they ask them. There's your first 10 blog articles right there.
Wow.
Because for every person that you talk to that asks those, there's probably, what, 10, 100 of them, 1,000 of them that go to Google and search for it, right? And guess what? For every person that you're telling directly, there's potentially hundreds of people out there that could find you indirectly because you're providing this answer, you're sharing this content, and you're the expert. You just have to realize that.
Okay. And just take it down to the basic form, even I would say if you can't keep a diary, is, you know, get your son or daughter and dictate to them, say, hey, I need to do these two paragraphs. This is what it needs to say, boom, 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 and have them to organize it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I know people that work with these networks like Zerys, and, you know, they have 5 minutes while they're driving in the car, and they offer those services where you can just speak into a phone for 5 minutes on the voicemail, hit record, and somebody will put that into an article.
Wow, so they can call into a number and do that, right?
Yeah, they have to, or you can, you know, save a recording or film a YouTube video. We were just talking about that earlier. That's even more authentic because people can see your face. But, yeah, you know, getting that content, because the biggest, most important thing to remember is you are the expert in what you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a business on it.
Okay.
That's why people buy your product, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now
you just got to make sure they know that.
Okay. Now, you have this point here, we have the content here, and then we mentioned, I think, earlier regarding the video. So even if I'm just with a regular camcorder, if I'm doing in particular how to sweep a chimney, how to light the fireplace, whatever, just videotape that for like 5 minutes, and that consider content as well, and you can post it on YouTube or something or your website?
Absolutely, that's content. I would always recommend when you do shoot a video, always embed it on your blog and get some sort of text underneath it, because the important thing to remember there is Google is your dumbest, blindest user. They can't always interpret a video. So you want to make sure that they have the text you can see. But the flip side of the coin to remember, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. Meaning more people go to YouTube and search for things than they go to Bing or Yahoo. So it's, you know, having video is really, really valuable and important too, because it's another channel that people can find you.
Okay. So now we have a website. Now we have some content. Now we have video and so forth. Now we put all of those pieces together to a website. Will you recommend for them to post it on YouTube and your website? That's where you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And the thing about, you know, doing something like a blog, because every article you write in a blog is considered a new page of content. So we were talking earlier about how do you get from 10 pages to 100 pages.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the easiest way to do it. But I'd also throw this out there that anybody that's kind of dabbled in this field before has probably heard of the whole concept of links, right? Links of the web. What you really need to understand about linking is think of it kind of like voting, right? Like whoever wins the GOP nomination here is going to have the most votes. They're going to have the most credibility, and more people than any other person is going to say, this is the person who should have this. So Google works the same way. It's kind of like their secret sauce, if you will. The more people that link to a page, the higher that page ranks in the search engine. And what's important to remember about that is they pull the anchor text of the link to help them say this is the keyword that it's associated with. So just, Tim, like you and I were talking about yesterday, anybody that's watching this this podcast or listening to this podcast, you'll see on the website that in the little bio over there that I actually had Tim make the links for Interactive Map Platform is a link to New Cloud's website because I want to rank my website for Interactive Map Platform instead of necessarily New Cloud. So, you know, links of the web are very, very important, and you're probably thinking, how the heck do you get links? Well, it goes back to that same philosophy, if you build it, they will come. If you create great content, people will want to share it. And ultimately, one day, you can probably get opportunities just like this where you're on other radio shows sharing your expertise.
Okay. So even with this pie, so if we say, like, for example, we put a pie together and the website is maybe the pan and all of the ingredients would be the content of going to that pie, and you would have to actually let it bake, and that's aging the website, aging the content, and the aroma of that pie will attract people to want to cut into it.
You got it, yeah. And I'll give you a dirty little trick here.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting into an industry or when you're first getting on to kind of online, and we were talking about this a little bit before, I kind of broke into all of this in higher education. I used to run a college website and started writing about internet marketing. And you know, using the chimney sweep example, to really get in there, you probably want to go ahead and do your homework and see what is your competition doing. Who are the other chimney sweeps out there with really good websites creating content? And remember, copying is the highest form of flattery. If those guys are doing things that are working really, really well, you probably want to copy them. But you also, those are the people that you want to build relationships with. Meaning, you know, me getting into higher education, I found out who the other higher education bloggers were and started leaving lots of comments on there, you know, showing that, hey, I knew what I was talking about too. I can be a value-add person in this community. And, you know, to be kind of the movie star of the industries, if you will, you've got to associate with the movie stars of the industry. So, you know, the faster you can get in there and start building strong relationships with those top players, the faster you'll become a top player, and it really helps accelerate your business.
Wow. And when you mentioned about, before we go into linking links, we talk about the search engines themselves, Google and Bing and Yahoo. Of course, you know, Google is number one. How does that play? How does today Bing and Yahoo in the search market, it seems like they're slower to get things indexed and getting your content on there. Is there any particular reason why things are slower on their end than versus Google just puts it on there and go at it?
It's a great question, and I guess I would kind of answer it that there's a reason that they own 80% of the market. There's a reason they're the dominant player, because they just do everything better. Yahoo, the big audience for Yahoo, and this could be really important for certain businesses, is it tends to be more low-income individuals. You know, the people that aren't necessarily, and you could say I'm stereotyping here, but I'm only kind of, you know, referencing the data I've seen. People that aren't college-educated tend to use Yahoo more for search.
Mm-hmm.
And people that use Bing more are people that are very, obviously, Windows, Microsoft-heavy. maybe they use, you know, Windows smartphones, they're big Xbox users, things like that. They're big Internet Explorer users because Bing usually comes default with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the savvy people stick with Google just because it's the best. And, you know, you were saying that they do things faster and they're on the cutting edge. Well, it's absolutely in Google's best interest to stay that way, because if they don't stay ahead of everybody else, they lose market share.
Absolutely. And it's kind of ironic. I remember in academia in the late 90s, Yahoo used to be it. But for academic research, we always went to Google because they, some reason, Google had all the academic articles and the things we actually need to cite for than Yahoo.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing after 15 years how things has really changed.
Absolutely. And who knows, in another 15 years, you know, people don't think about it, but Facebook's a top five search engine now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to happen? You know, they're getting more and more of that inner thrown out through the web. I know last week y'all were talking about IPOs. Like, that's the big hot IPO 2012 that everybody's talking about. And, you know, they're looking for a $100 billion valuation when they go public. So, you know, that's going to become a major player.
Wow. Now we have our website. Now we have where to go for content. We know we're going to need, of course, Twitter and Facebook, and also LinkedIn, if you're in a certain profession, part of your optimization. Now, when we put all of those items together, we have our content, we have our videos, we have all this other stuff. These things, of course, is essential, but anything else in, I guess, go into link building now, since we already talked about the search engines, and you say, yeah, we vote on it. Why links are so important? I know you mentioned that it's a voting process, but now why the links mean so important? How can you go get a link if you're a small business?
Yeah, that's the trick. It's just so hard, and that's why it's so valuable. You know, you can go – every small business owner probably gets those emails on a daily basis from some SEO guru that'll get you inbound links and will help you rank for this keyword or that keyword. You know, they're all playing this game, and what they do is they get you a whole bunch of links and directories and things like that. It wasn't 9 months ago that JCPenney's got made the cover of New York Times because an SEO firm that they outsourced to got them slapped on the wrist and banned from Google for black hat practices, if you will. So you really want to stay away from those guys unless you really, really know what they're doing and they're giving you reports of exactly what they're doing for you. But I think that's why I always come back to, if you build it, they will come. If you create the great content and build the great relationships, people will link to it. You know, if you're building relationships with industry bloggers, they'll start linking to you and you can start linking to them. And as far as the web, it kind of works in these different circles, if you will. It's going to be, if you're a chimney sweep, it's a whole lot more valuable for you to have an inbound link, someone linking to you from another chimney sweep website than somebody that sells My Little Ponies, because it's just totally unrelated. So, you know, staying in your neighborhood of the web, if you will, and building those relationships, those links will come.
So how will they come? I mean, people will just contact you and ask for you to be linked to them, or how?
They'll want to share your content. They'll want to share your content. They'll want to write about the content that you're producing. They'll want to share it on their blog. They'll want to put it on their Facebook. They'll want to share it through Twitter, things like that.
Okay.
So it comes back to, if you build it, they will come. If you create wonderful, engaging, valuable content, people will want to share it. And that is the hardest part of marketing, right? That's all marketing is coming up with creative and unique ways to make our brand stand out. Well, at the end of the day, that's what online marketing is about, coming up with this creative and valuable content that people want to read and share.
Okay. When you talked about, I think earlier regarding the link building process, white hat and black hat. Can you talk about what is the white hat techniques and what is the black hat techniques and what you should look for an SEO firm?
Yeah, that's when I say white hat, it's everything we're talking about now. Black hat is people that get links or acquire links through kind of under the table sketchy ways. And one of those is link buying. Google actually really, really doesn't like people that sell and buy links for obvious reasons, because they're basically trying to game their algorithm. And as I was saying earlier, it's in Google's best interest to return the best results possible. And if you're looking for a chimney sweep in Boston, you want to find out who is the best chimney sweep in Boston based upon the number of votes or the number of inbound links that he's getting. And if he's getting a bunch of inbound links to really shady practices and it's not really the best website, well, Google doesn't want that to happen for obvious reasons. You as a consumer don't want that to happen because it's not going to be the best business for you. And that's how you lose trust, and that's how Google loses market share. So anytime that someone is going to say, hey, we're going to help you rank number one for this keyword, ask them how. How are you going to help me rank number one for that keyword? And they'll most likely tell you, we're going to build a bunch of inbound links for you. It's like, tell them, I want to get monthly reports of where these links are coming from. And if they tell you, well, we're not going to give you that, you know something shady is going on. Or if they give them to you and it's a bunch of, like, My Little Pony websites, a bunch of directories that you never heard of before, you know, you know you're in that black hat land.
Okay, so taking, I mean, while we're in that black hat land, I mean, putting a company on a directory, that's not going to kind of blacklist them, are they? Because they're in all these different directories. Is it going to really help them get found more?
Yeah, that's it. That's just it. It's not that it's necessarily going to hurt you. It's just not going to help you at all.
Okay.
You know, who cares? It's the analogy, if a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, doesn't matter. If you've got 200 links on these directories that no one ever goes to and Google never really crawls because they know they're you know, bogus link farms, then who really cares about them? You know, what makes links so valuable is not just the fact that Google crawls them and it helps you rank better, but it's also the fact that people click through them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get traffic from that, too. That's why if you can get the New York Times write an article about you, you know, that's very, very good luck on that, or a local newspaper, or I shouldn't say it that way. That sounds really intimidating. But if you can get, you know, a local newspaper, an industry website, or a trade website or stuff like that to write about you, that's where you really want to go. And the way you do that is you create the valuable content that they want to share and they want to talk about.
Okay. And we talked about earlier regarding these links and articles. Since we talk about the directories itself, if you produce an article and you put it on your website, if you want to share it with, you know, a different article website, do you advise that since it'd be duplicate content, or it really doesn't matter? That's helping you getting links back to your site.
Yeah, the duplicate content question is one that always comes up, and I guess I would say duplicate content is not good because it splits your authority, meaning if Google is going to associate the credibility or the credit for this article in two locations, it's not as powerful as if it was going to associate all the credibility in one location. And I can tell you, any day, I would rather have all that credibility be on my website instead of me splitting it with, you know, some free press release service.
Okay. So with the article itself, and you mentioned the free web release, you know, like, for example, if you did chimney sweep and you giving your video out there already, and you know, of course you're going to post it to YouTube, and hopefully that'll come back to your website. But if you take the article on how to do something and syndicate it, is that going to really hurt you if it's pointing back to your website?
You want to point back to your website.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, syndication's okay. And I guess what I would say is if you were going to take an article you'd written previously on your website and put it in a trade magazine or put it, you know, in on someone else's blog, in a guest blog or something like that, just rewrite some of it. You know, just rewrite it and change it up. you know, somewhere. You could still use the same five tips or whatever you use, but change it around a little bit. Change the wording so that it's not, you know, duplicated. You know, continue to try to add value wherever you can. And that's really what Google wants. Google's not trying to overthink this. They just want to be, they just want to provide something that's valuable and try not to do it in a mechanical way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I follow. With you mentioned also earlier regarding the press, I think press releases or something like that, and SEO project to do, does these websites, wire service like MarketWire,
mm-hmm.
PR Web, PR News Wire, when you do the press releases, those things actually helps as well, or?
Yeah, I would say I love press releases, but here's the way I do them. One, I write the press release on my website first, whether it's in a newsroom or on a blog. Two, I take the press release and I change it a little bit. A lot of times I'll just have like the first two paragraph or two in it, try to keep it really short, and then link back to the original press release on my website, so that it's still getting credited to my main website. And if people want to learn more about it, they'll still come back, because, once again, somebody cannot buy your service or your product in a press release. You've got to get them to come back to your website. So make sure you're doing that linking there, but make sure that it's not the exact same copy that's also on your website.
Okay.
You can kind of double leverage it by getting it on your website and some, you know, variation of it out on the web. So it's another thing for your buck.
Okay, so you send the press release and, you know, you RSS feed it back, and it automatically repost all over the place.
Yep.
And I think the concept is to have links coming from that, from different places. Even with that scenario, what do you say about that? Is that really helping?
That's a great question. And kind of research has shown, and I'm referencing some research that HubSpot did a while back, that it's like a short-term burst, because what most people don't know about those press release websites, whether they're paid or free, is a lot of times the press release goes away after 30 days. So, you know, you'll get this burst, you'll get this, you know, ranking increase for a little while, but over the long term, that kind of goes away. So if you're trying to buy a bunch of inbound links for the long term, that's not really the best way to do it. But if you've got a new release or a new product or something that you really want to get a big push off of, and you think that the community is really going to get a lot out of, press releases can be great.
Okay. And before we go into inbound marketing, anything else you want to add regarding the SEO, a person need to prepare for?
You know, I guess I would just say it this way, that, you know, think of how you are as a consumer, and think about, you know, do your research, see what your competition does, and think about how you want to see sites. And that's probably what end users are going to want to see too. Think like a consumer, and be valuable, be value added, not spammy. Don't try to overthink it, but think about, is this going to be something that people are going to want to consume and enjoy or not?
Okay. Tell us about, I guess, inbound marketing. I think your previous employer, when you were at a HubSpot, is branded for it. Tell us, what is inbound marketing, and how HubSpot was so successful in branding their name into the inbound marketing arena?
Yeah, so I was kind of talking about this at the very beginning of the show, that you know, inbound marketing is this whole kind of new age idea that people think of marketing kind of traditionally as pull versus push. Mass marketing is more of the push. You throw a bunch of stuff out there, you hope some stuff sticks. Pull is more about you create value and people want to share what you're doing and want to come find you. So when you're creating all this content, all this value on your website, people are searching for it on Google and they come find you. People are wanting to share it on social media and their friends come and find you. So if it's inbound, you know, inbound leads, inbound content, inbound marketing, people are finding you instead of you going out and making you know, each sales rep making 100 cold calls a day, you've got people coming to your website, consuming your content, engaging with your brand, and filling out a form to, you know, do a free trial, download a white paper, you know, get a kit, things like that. Where then you have these inbound leads that you're talking to someone who at least has an idea about your brand and is probably interested in your service or product.
Okay. And HubSpot just took that and just went with it. That's how it was really successful.
It goes back to what we were saying at the beginning. You know, things have really been changing. And, you know, they just kind of noticed that one of the co-founders started blogging, as I did myself, and it's like, oh, my gosh, there's all these people out there that I don't necessarily know about or wouldn't have never known in a normal day-to-day basis who could benefit from what we're doing. You know, the book, The World is Flat, it's so true. You know, you can be selling widgets in Austin, Texas, and there are people all over the U.S. and world that can benefit from that, and the web enables you to connect.
Okay. So, kind of changing hats again, tell us about your two companies that you founded.
Yeah, so I guess it kind of probably makes the most sense to start with .edu Guru. Back in, I spent 6 years working in higher education, and the last three kind of running a college website. That's kind of why you can probably tell I get a little passionate about this and kind of have lived, breathed, eaten for so long. But decided, like, where do I want to go with my career? I'd been at the school for 6 years, and I knew the next place up. My boss had been there 25 years, and, you know, me being a 27-year-old at the time, I was like, well, I don't want to wait forever. I don't want to wait 20 years to get that promotion. What do I do? Well, I need to start networking. I need to start building, you know, my network. Blogging seems like the thing to do. So my New Year's resolution was, I'm going to start blogging about what I do. And if anybody's looked, there are a million people that blog about internet marketing. But I worked in higher education, so that was my niche. So .edu Guru started out as a higher education marketing blog in January of 2008. Today we've got 7 people that write on it with me. The majority of them still work in higher education, and it's really become kind of, our expertise platform. And it shows, like, these guys really know what they're talking about because they've shared hundreds and hundreds of articles on the subject, and we've really built a lot of credibility in the community. And what I was finding over time is I was building all this community, all this credibility in the community. Well, how do you monetize it? And for me, it was like, well, what if we were to build a product and could leverage some sort of way the credibility and trust we've built through all this knowledge in selling a product? And that's literally how NewCloud came about, is we stumbled upon this idea that schools need an interactive campus map. That from a recruitment standpoint, if anybody out there has, you know, a high school senior, odds are that it's looking to go to college, or even a junior, they've probably got a short list of 10 schools they're looking at. You're not going to take and tour all 10 schools because it's quite cost, you know, it's quite expensive with the cost of gas and things. But you'll tell them, all right, well, we'll go tour 3 schools and help you narrow down and make the decision. So how are they going to go about making that decision on one of the 3 schools they want to visit? Well, they visit the college website, and hopefully they find our interactive campus map, take a virtual tour of campus, and say, you know what, Mom, you know what, Dad, this is a school I want to visit. So the interactive map is kind of a lead generation tool to get prospective students to take that next step of scheduling a visit. And we've really found a niche around that and, you know, kind of grown it as a side project while I spent the last 3 years up at HubSpot really honing and learning inbound marketing before it got to the point where it was like, you know what, I'm not afraid to go be my own entrepreneur and try to do this. But because of all the trust that we built, you know, becoming a thought authority before we even had a product, it's really, really helped us grow our business at a reliable rate instead of just coming out of nowhere and saying, hey, here I am, here's what we do, would you like to buy our service?
Wow. So if you are you have a college senior, which a lot of parents are looking, and a lot of students, seniors are looking at colleges to go to. So they can go to your website. Is the New Cloud or EDU?
If they want to look at the interactive campus maps, those are actually on whatever college they're looking at website. But if they want to check out kind of the website for our services, it's newcloud.com. It's N-U,
okay.
Cloud. Yeah, I think there's a link on the podcast there too. But .edu is spelled just like it sounds, .edugru.com is the higher education marketing blog.
Wow.
They're kind of two different entities, but, you know, they both kind of target the same audience. And when you've been, you know, you've built this connection and built these relationships with hundreds of people all over the U.S., and then you come along and have a product, you know, maybe they're not going to buy your product, but you've already got that word of mouth effort already started.
Okay. Wow. Lastly, I think regarding SEO and inbound marketing, if you wrap them up, what should the person do? The top five things they really need to do. They built the website. They have the social sites, you know, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and a few others. If you pull this all together from SEO and inbound marketing, and if you look at even your niche, which is education, pulling that to wrap them up all together, what are the top five things you think a person should look for and they should do?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we were saying, it all comes down to blogging. And you know, I spent years as an inbound marketing consultant, and people ask me all the time, if I've only got half an hour a day, what do I need to do? And I, 100% of the time, it's like, if that's all the time you have, you need to be creating content. Everything else is fluff. If you don't have that content on your website, nothing else matters. And a good buddy of mine, Marcus Sheridan, who, if you look him up on Twitter, his Twitter handle is The Sales Lion. This guy ran a pool company, and through the recession, grew, you know, hundreds of percent over through inbound marketing, because, you know, he really established himself as the expert in the pool business, because they wrote content all about that. And he'll tell you, you know, people ask me, you know, how do you find time to write content? He's like, well, let me ask you this. How do you find time to pay your employees? Like, you have to pay your employees. There's no doubt. Like, you have to pay them. The same thing's true for creating content. You know, if you're not creating content, you're not going to grow your business and be able to pay your employees. And if that means that you've got to spend nights and weekends to balance the budget to figure out where you can get the money from, you've also got to spend those nights and weekends to create that content. He does a whole lot better job of telling that story than I do, because I believe it so much I don't have to be convinced. But that's by far and away probably 1, 2, and 3. 4 and 5 have to be, you've got someone to your website, they're consuming your content. What is the next step? Meaning, do you have those offers in place where someone can, you know, take the next step and download some sort of a white paper, do a free trial, get a free estimate of your service, whatever it is. And I do not mean a contact us form.
Mm-hmm.
A contact us form, nobody fills out that. The only people that fill out a contact us form are those SEO spammers I was talking about earlier, and your customers that are complaining about your product. It's true. somebody that's trying to sell you something, or someone that's complaining about something. But if you've got, you know, those other conversion forms, you're getting those leads coming in, and you want to make sure you've got those offers, those call to actions spread out throughout your website, on your blog post, on your homepage, on different things where it makes sense, so that you're getting people to your website, they're consuming your content, they're building that trust, they're taking that next step to saying, hey, I'm raising my hand. What you're saying is interesting and valuable. I think you can help me. I want to learn more. And then you've got their email address. You've got their phone number. They've already opted in and said, I want help. You make that connection, and it's going to be 100 times more successful than a cold call, and a lot of times they're going to be happy you called.
Wow.
It's a total game changer from a sales standpoint. I tell you, as someone who did telesales for 6 months at HubSpot, I just wanted to learn how to do sales. It's a total different conversation when people know that you can help them.
Great. Now, when you mentioned the white paper, and once the person, you can create a white paper, which is creating more content on a particular product or service, whatever you're an expert, your expertise on this. And I know I've seen some sites. Okay, in order to get the white paper, you had to give up some information. Do you still recommend the person needs to do the same thing? You fill out the form and then you get the white paper, or just get the white paper and see if it funnels through inbound marketing that way?
That's a great question, and it comes down to two things. Like, one, what is the purpose of the white paper? Is the purpose of the white paper to, one, drive leads for your business, or is the purpose of the white paper, two, to generate more buzz? Because, you know, white papers, research, things like that can also be very, very, very great piece of the content that people want to link to, right? If you create this great research report, other people on the web, when they write articles or reference your report and link to it, they're going to be a lot more likely to link to it and talk about it if it's something you freely give away. So it really comes down to, where are you in your business? Are you someone, is your challenge driving more leads or driving more awareness?
Wow, that's a powerful statement. Like you mentioned, content is king. Content is king. Lastly, when you go and look for a SEO company, just to recap, what things you need to look for, because, you know, people get taken advantage of. They don't know, you know, if a person give me a report, yeah, they might be coming from a black hat perspective, but I really wouldn't know. What would you advise them to do if they're looking for an SEO company, and, you know, there are companies that will give you free trials. Some companies will charge you from the bat $2,000 and $3,000 and $5,000 a month for reputation and so forth. What do they really need to look for as a business so they won't get taken advantage of?
Yeah, I just wrote an article on this the other week on .edguru talking about why anytime anybody goes and works with a vendor, the first place you need to start at is, what is the goal of this project and what is the return on investment? So when you're going to find an SEO company, what is the ultimate goal that you want to have? And if you tell me that that ultimate goal is I want more traffic, I'm going to tell you, who cares? Who cares if we go from 10 visitors a day to your website to 1,000 if none of those web visitors are actually doing anything, meaning they're converting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a really good SEO firm, the main metric that you're going to care about and you as a business can actually relate to is, are they sending me more leads? Yes, they're giving me more traffic. Yes, more people are finding us in the search engines. Yes, we're ranking for these terms. That's all great, but who cares if those people aren't buying anything? So if it's leads and sales is the main goal of your business, and let's be honest, what business isn't that their main goal?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a nonprofit, but if that's your main goal, then that should be how you measure the success of this SEO company, and they should be okay with that.
Okay. And if a person wanted to take another route of trying to learn it on their own or train one of the employees, where should they go to kind of learn that? I mean, I guess once they get the understanding of what SEO is about and say, hey, let me train one of my people to do this, and then I can, in the future, hire another company to take beyond that. But we need to understand the whole process and what we need to look for. Is there any particular places a person need to go to get trained? Or
yeah, HubSpot's done a great job putting together all those resources. I mean, you know, I keep coming back to my former employee here, but I can't say enough good things about him, too. I didn't leave on bad terms. I left because the entrepreneurial spirit in me wanted to go do my own thing. But, yeah, HubSpot.com, they've got lots of great resources, tons of research, tons of white papers. But they've also created a little website called InboundMarketing.com. And on InboundMarketing.com is a whole, like, 20-part webinar series where you can actually go to get certified as an inbound marketing professional.
Wow. Okay. And lastly, I've heard about, you know, there's SEO Moz, SEO Book, and those things went up as well, or?
Yeah, I mean, those are all really great, great, great resources too. But if you're a small business owner, and unless you're in the tech industry, those are going to be overkill for you. I mean,
okay,
I love those services, but, you know, once again, you're getting deep in the weeds of SEO, and you're not thinking about your ultimate goal, which is leads and customers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably, I would say that SEO is one piece of this inbound marketing puzzle. Right? You know,
right.
Ranking in the search engine and getting traffic is great, but it doesn't matter if those visitors aren't coming through your funnel and converting into leads, and ultimately you're converting those leads into customers in your sales process.
Okay. And the very last question, you say you had a bucket list for Kyle James. What would be your bucket list?
Oh, gosh, we were just talking about this today. My dream job still is and always will be to be the general manager of the Atlanta Braves. They're actually the town over today. My brother called me up and said, hey, Frank Renz here. Frank Renz, the general manager of the Braves. Can you come? I was like, God, I want to meet him so bad, shake his hand and say, what do I got to do to take the job from you in 10 years? That's my bucket list. I still want to jump out of an airplane. I've never done that. And spend a month in New Zealand. A little bit of a Lord of the Rings fanatic, and just watching those movies, seeing how beautiful it is down there.
Wow.
I'd love just to spend a month, like, backpacking across the countryside.
Wow. That's something else, New Zealand. Well, I really appreciate your time, your energy, your expertise, and sharing with us today. I think this is going to really fit a lot of people. And again, if they need to contact you regarding your two sites, how can they contact you?
The easiest, I mean, if you go to Google and search for Kyle James, KyleJames, you can't miss me. It's also, if you're on Twitter, Kyle James. If you're on Facebook, it's Kyle M. James. You can find me. You can't miss me. If you know my name and you have any idea what I do, I own the search engine results for myself.
Okay. Well, that's really good. Brand me inbound marketing. And the
company
that you have is New Cloud. NUCloud.com and EDU Guru.
That's it.
Okay. And your information, your telephone numbers is on those websites.
Great.
Okay, great.
Thanks again for your time, Tim. And anybody, if I can help anybody, you know, one of my passions is I love teaching. I love talking about this stuff. So, you know, feel free to use me any way anybody can to direct them or point them in the right direction on anything.
Great. Kyle James, really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Okay, it's been another production of the Apple Capital Group, Financing Your Business, and have a great weekend. Take care, Kyle.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.